Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs. In our Go and Teach Bible program, we have been studying attitudes. Attitudes that are bothersome to us. Attitudes that because of their sinful nature at times and the way that they're manifested, separate us from God. Isaiah 59 and verse 2 tells us that sin separates us from God. And certainly, we can sin in the presence of God, do great harm to our spiritual well-being, and destroy our physical relationships if we display the kinds of attitudes that God warns and legislates against. In the last two programs, we've studied how God gives us the answer on overcoming the sinful attitude of anger. We noted in our lesson that not all angry feelings are inappropriate or sinful. Even God, in the Old Testament, over 80 times is described as being angry. But we identified those angry feelings that are sinful, and we saw God's step-by-step method to bring us from the point of the old man to the point of the new man, thus establishing within ourselves a more pleasing personality, as it were, in the eyes of God. And now today, I want to deal with another attitude, and that is one of resentment and bitterness. There's a statement in a little book called Wings of Silver that I'd like to begin by reading. That book says, quote, "A man's venom poisons himself more than his victim," unquote. How true that is. I don't know if you've ever been coldly indignant because you felt that you were treated unfairly or that you were insulted or your rights were violated or you felt that someone that shouldn't have just took unfair advantage of you. Well, if you've had those feelings, you've suffered resentment. You've experienced that harmful, that bitter feeling of resentment. Resentment is a painful emotion. It leads to other attitudes and dispositions that are destructive to us, like self-pity and bitterness and hatred. If you and I fail to overcome resentment, it will develop into bitterness. Bitterness is a malignant form of resentment. It spreads rapidly to all areas of our life. The Bible associates bitterness with misery, and I think that you and I can attest to that. Resentment is easily justified in our own minds, especially when we truly have been injured. I don't know if you've ever heard someone say, or perhaps you've said yourself, well, what can you expect under the circumstances? You'd be resentful too if that had happened to you. Well, we could spend a lot of time justifying sinful behavior and attitude due to circumstances. It's always been one of Satan's most effective tools, but it doesn't fit into the Christian's makeup, does it? In 1 Peter 2 and verse 19, the Bible says, "For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience toward God, a man bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly." Wow, what a passage. I think I should read that again. "For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience toward man, a man bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly." 1 Peter 2 and verse 19. Resentment, I think, is a secondary infection. It's sort of like pneumonia that develops from a cold or bronchitis. It is resultant of a spiritual disorder not recognized easily. Spiritual disorders like unresolved anger will result in resentment. Spiritual disorders such as selfishness will result in resentment. Spiritual disorders such as unwillingness to accept God's way will result in resentment. A consequence of uncontrolled envy and jealousy will result in resentment. Resentment has to be treated before it develops into bitterness and hatred. Let me give you five common forms of resentment for your consideration. We'll call the first the I'm mad form. That thrives in an atmosphere of unresolved anger. It's easy to recognize this from the symptoms. Symptoms are things that we hear like, it wouldn't do any good to talk about it, or I shouldn't have to say anything, they know they owe me an apology, or they'll never change, or I can't get them to, and then whatever it is that makes us angry. The I'm mad form of resentment. Second, it's the it's not fair form. It's the most popular form of the things that make up anger, I think. It develops rapidly when conflicts over personal rights are developing. We hear people say, well, I have my rights too, or it's not that I care for myself, but they shouldn't be able to get away with that. Or, what's fair is fair. Oh, this symptom has such an appealing persecution, a color that sometimes we fall into the trap without even knowing that we're falling. Then there's the big I form. That's not so easily recognized, I think. It's usually a secondary infection of selfishness. Doesn't anyone care about what I want? When's it going to be my turn? I never get to do what I want to do. Now you know how I feel. I think one of the most devastating comments or circumstances is for someone to be experiencing terrible things in their life and come to you or to me and describe those things, looking for advice and comfort, and we listen to their problems and we look at them square in the eye and we say, now you know how I felt. Isn't that a terrible response? That's just so easy to do. Then there's the I wish form. That feeds on envy and jealousy. It affects the mind with continual comparison. We hear things like, everything falls in his lap when I have to work like a dog for what I get. I wish I had her looks and she had a wart on her nose. Or, I resent the way they complain about how tough they have it. They don't even know what tough is. When I was a child, I had to walk 27 miles one way to school through snow and ice. When I got there was just one room and the stove was broken down and I'd have to walk all the way back. And when I'd get home, even after dark, I'd have to bring in the wood and the coal before I could even sit down and eat, and the food was cold. Well, I doubt that those things are necessarily true. It's just that we think more of ourselves than we ought to. Then there's the I wish form. It feeds on envy and jealousy. It affects the mind with continual comparison. That's the I wish form. Then, If I could just do this or just do that. It's easy to mistake angry frustration as the source for this form, but really, it's our unwillingness to accept God's provision for us. If I could just have, if I could just do, if I just wasn't. Those symptoms are frustrating, aren't they? Especially when we don't know how to change them or get rid of them. Well, what's the solution? Well, just like with anger, the first step of the solution is repentance. Now, Next, we commit ourselves to following God's way out of resentment. We need to be aware that it'll take effort and it'll take trust to develop new attitudes and behaviors. What are God's way out of resentment and bitterness? Remember, resentment is a secondary infection, and oftentimes we have to identify the root of the problem, whether it's anger or envy or selfishness, before we can be successful in overcoming. The first step of God's way out is the total heart attitude. Have you ever been forced to do something that was against your will? Doing the dishes when you didn't even eat, or doing something that you just didn't agree was your job? Well, we're miserable when that happens. An hour before the work begins, we're sullen during the work, and we're resentful after it's done. Colossians 3, verse 23 says, note now, here's the answer. Colossians 3 and verse 23, whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord, rather than men. There's a joy, isn't there, in doing something willingly, with the right motive? With a total heart attitude, our motive is that we're working for Christ and not for man. That attitude will allow us to be resentment-free, whether it's picking up a dirty sock or mowing the lawn. A second step in our attitude therapy is only the truth attitude. Have you ever been mistrusted unjustly? Have you ever been suspected of something that you didn't do? Have you ever been called a liar when you weren't? Have you ever been punished when you were innocent? God has an answer to that kind of a situation, and it's found in John 8 and verse 32. There the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Christ was free from inner turmoil. He was free from conflict and resentment. Even though Christ was accused of blasphemy and demon possession and all kinds of other false charges, he was free from inner turmoil. Why was he so free? Because he knew the truth of the situation. He dealt with the false charges. He did that by answering them truthfully. If you have your Bible with you, turn to John, the 8th chapter. In the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter, I'd like to begin reading in verse 48 and going through verse 59. The Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I don't have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. But I do not seek my glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. And the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died and the prophets also, and you said, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Surely, you're not greater than our father Abraham, who died. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. And you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. The Jews therefore said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Therefore they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Now, if you would, continue in the book of John and look at chapter 10, beginning in verse 33. For the Jews answered him, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, are making yourself out to be God. And Jesus answered, Has it not been written in your law, I said, your gods? And if he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say to him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, don't believe me. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am the Father. Therefore they were seeking again to seize him, and he eluded their grasp. And he went away again beyond the Jordan to a place where John was first baptizing, and he was staying there. And many came to him and were saying, while John performed no sign, yet everything John said about this man was true. And many believed in him there. Jesus dealt straight on with the false charges of those Pharisees, didn't he? He knew the truth, and the truth set him free. Christ refused to let unjust accusations claim his focus. In Proverbs, the 26th chapter and verse 2, the Bible says, an undeserved curse has no effect. Its intended victim will be no more harmed by it than by a sparrow or a swallow flittering through the sky. Untruth will not last. Only truth will last. Well, the third step in our attitude therapy over resentment and bitterness is the follow me attitude. Has someone else not doing what they should have been doing ever made you resentful? God's answer comes from John 21, beginning with verse 19. Again, let's go to that great book of John and turn to chapter 21. John 21, the last chapter in the book of John, beginning in verse 19. Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. And Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also leaned back on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? And Peter, therefore seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what about this man? Jesus said to him, if I want him to remain until I come, what's that to you? You follow me. This saying, therefore, went out among the brethren that that disciple would not die, yet Jesus did not say to him that he wouldn't die, but only, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? Peter was told to tend his own business, wasn't he? Follow me was Peter's charge. Keeping our focus on Christ will protect us from painful bouts of resentment. We just need to follow Christ. The fourth step is the thank God attitude. I don't know if you've ever felt resentful because your kids were sick and everybody else's kids were well. The washer overflowed, the car broke down, the telephone repairman didn't come, your husband had to work late. Well, God's answer is found in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. There the Bible says, in everything give thanks. Let me give you an example using the same irritating occurrences that we just mentioned. Thank you, God, that modern medicine can do so much for common childhood diseases. Thank you, God, for allowing me to have a washer while millions wash in the streams all over the world. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to have a car that usually takes me places that are too far to walk. Thank you, Lord, for letting me go a whole day without being interrupted by the phone. Thank you, God, for a husband that loves me and cares for me. Please bring him safely home. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 12, I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret. What was the secret that he learned? In verse 11, it's identified. Contentment. Contentment and thankfulness are learned attitudes. Finally, the what next attitude. Do you ever feel like things work out for everybody except you? Listen to what God says in Galatians 6, verse 9 and 10. And let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to those of the household of faith. We need to keep busy doing good. That will not allow us to have time for self-pity. The giving instead of getting attitude will help us to achieve our goal. I don't know if you've ever been resentful because you were taken advantage of, but God deals with that in Matthew, the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 38 and going through verse 48. The world's focus is on what they're owed, and that results in a getting attitude. God teaches us to focus on what we should be giving others, regardless of what others do or don't give us. So then we see the total heart attitude, the only the truth attitude, the follow me attitude, the thank God attitude, the what's next attitude, and the giving instead of getting attitude. Developing those six attitudes will overcome most resentful feelings and most bitterness. But sometimes even those don't get to that deep bitterness from a traumatic experience. God's antibiotic for that is called forgiveness. There's a case where something is easier said than done. That cure is available. We might say over the counter, but it's expensive and it's hard to administer. God demands that we use it. In Luke 6 and verse 37, Jesus says, "Forgive and we'll be forgiven." First, we should understand what forgiveness is. It simply is the way that we behave toward the one that's hurt us. We tend to think that we must feel forgiving before we forgive. But God knew that feelings would follow actions. Here's what God says. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but give blessing instead. 1 Peter 3 and verse 9. God said, if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat, and if he's thirsty, give him water to drink. Proverbs 25, verse 21. God said, bless those who persecute you. Romans 12 and verse 14. That's not to say that we are to be hypocritical. It is to say that we're to start acting in a forgiving way until our want-to power catches up with our will-do power. Second, we need to get out of the resentment game. We have to leave that to God. Refusing to forgive is like holding a grudge, which is nothing more than punishment on the installment plan. We need to develop a forgiveness focus. We need to learn a lesson from Matthew 18 where Peter said, Lord, how many times should I forgive someone? Seven times? Peter was saying, how much do I have to take? Jesus uses that question to explain a principle. He uses a parable of the unmerciful servant, and he concludes in verses 32 and 33 by saying that we can't afford to hold other sins against them when we consider how many sins God could hold against us. We need to look at our response rather than the injury. Let me give you an example. You learn that a friend has made a vicious comment about you, and instead of saying, how can he say that about me after all I've done for him? We need to go to Romans 12, verse 17 through 21, and learn the answer. Romans, the 12th chapter, beginning in verse 17, the Bible says, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own vengeance, your own revenge, beloved. Leave room for the wrath of God, for it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. But if your enemy's hungry, feed him, and if he's thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. If our thoughts are on the injustice suffered, it will produce anger and resentment and bitterness. If we make our response conform to God's way, we will come out with a forgiving heart and a clear conscience. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.